When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us right now, my guy Art Stapleton, covering the GM for NorthJersey.com, USA Today. You guys know Art. He's been on the fan a bunch. Thanks for joining us, Art.
What's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good, good. You want to start Giants or you want to go to the Yankees talk?
I have a feeling you could do the Yankees talk, the KM to AM all night. So we'll stick a little Giants.
Okay, great. So, you know, who's we don't know who's flying the drones, but we know who's flying the planes and who's going to fly a plane all the way down to Atlanta while they play in a dome and we can't see the airplane.
Yeah, well, I would imagine the TV cameras might find it if it says something interesting. But it's not 1978, you know. It's really a weird thing, Keith. I got to be honest. I mean, I think from my perspective, I respect the fans who are paying their money and really frustrated with the product that the Giants have put out there for almost a decade and a half at this point. But I think that's kind of misplaced with this whole plane thing. I think the New York Post, my buddy Mark Canizaro, had talked to somebody who was one of the originals who rented the plane back in 78. And, you know, he said they kind of copycatted us a little bit. And I don't know necessarily if it's having the same kind of impact. I mean, you had one fan allegedly paid for this last one, and there was a group of almost 100 fans that got together in 1978, and I don't think any of us can truly appreciate what that was like to actually get a group of fans to put money in a kitty to rent a plane for a banner. So I just don't see the comparisons in terms of what they're trying to do. But listen, fans are frustrated. Giants fans are not happy. So this is the world we are living in right now.
Yeah, I think Tiki Barber had the best line when he said, you know, you guys are flying planes over the stadium 2 years ago. You went to the playoffs and won a game. Fly a plane for the team that hasn't gone to the playoffs in 14 years.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, but, you know, Giants fans, and rightfully so, they don't want to hear about it. They, you know, and I can appreciate where Tiki's coming from. I heard him that day, too, in the afternoon. It's one of those things where it's like, you know what, the Giants fans, even in the beginning of the season, didn't want to hear about the history, didn't want to hear about 100 years, mm-hmm. didn't want to hear about the four Super Bowls, didn't want to hear the fact that the Giants are the only team to win a Super Bowl in each of the last four decades. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of it. But, you know, there's been a lot of bad football, a lot of bad decisions, and a lot of change in a short period of time, Keith. And I think that is what I think everyone is trying to kind of come to a reality of what's real and what is caused by just the constant change and the turnover. And, you know, you mentioned the Yankees in the open, you know, when you brought me on. You know, everybody wants Cashman gone. Oh, Cashman's got to go. It's like, well, somewhere along the line, the Giants kind of have to stick with what they have. Yeah. to see if they could turn a corner and get somewhere where they're not just changing for the sake of, you know what, these guys didn't work out 2 years in a row, we got to get rid of them. I mean, it's not a good pattern to have. And, you know, unfortunately, that's kind of where the Heat is coming from.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cashman. The other night I was talking about just New York sports in general, and I'm like, it's crazy that you guys made Fire Cashman shirts, had a Fire Cashman night, hashtag Fire Cashman for a guy that consistently wins, that is consistently in the postseason, that brings you good players. Like, when we look around at how long it took the Knicks to get right, even if we look at what the Rangers have turned into now, when we look at both football teams, when we look at the Mets, I'm like, look at the teams in town, right? There's been so much dysfunction, so much bad news, so much embarrassment. The Yankees don't have that embarrassment. They have one down year and go 82-80, and then they go to the World Series the next year after. So yeah. I like the parallel, and I know there's a lot of Yankee fans, Giants fans. I talk to Bob Papa a lot as well. Like, I feel like you guys are in a spot with the Giants where you got to stick with the guys you have. You got to see it through. It sucks. The 100 years to be this bad, to be a laughing stock, but you got to go through it to get to it. And what you're about to get to is potentially a number one pick or a number two pick and maybe a franchise quarterback. And I understand people saying, oh, it's been so bad, you know, you could fire these guys. But I think this is John Mara's toughest test yet. Like, do you really believe in the guys that you hired, or do you believe in firing these guys and you know, just kind of appeasing some fans and then starting all over? I am now in the camp of you have to complete the Holy Trinity. You have to let this GM and head coach draft their own quarterback, then make decisions. There's no point in just, you know, starting completely over right now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the day after Thanksgiving, after they lost to Dallas, just the idea that, you know, John Mara needs to bite his lower lip and just hold on here. And, you know, it seems like that was 2 months ago. But the idea of, you know, bring them back for next year and see if you can turn that corner and truly appreciate the timeline here. Now, look, it's very easy to look at the numbers and say, well, they're going to be 2-15 and they're going to lose the most games at home in any team in NFL history. Well, first off, no team in NFL history has ever played 9 games at home because of the quirk in the schedule. So don't use that stat. You know, the fact that they haven't won a game at home, yeah, that's not good. But the reality is that, like, I've seen people use the statistic that since, I think it was the beginning in November of Dable's first season, and they give you that stat where, well, they've only won this many games and they've lost this many games since then. Everybody wants to say, well, look, they've failed for 3 years. They haven't failed for 3 years. They won 9 games plus a playoff game in year one. Now, did that change everything for them? And did that put them ultimately in a bad spot going into year two, if they were going to rebuild? Yeah, they probably had a little fool's gold. They felt like they were somewhere that they probably weren't. You know, everyone keeps talking about John Mara's, you know, we're back comment. I mean, look, he was, after the game, you can't tell me there wasn't one Giants fan that sat, or just tell me there were a group of Giants fans that weren't happy that they beat Minnesota on that Saturday. You know, there's no way that they could have looked at that and said, a year later, this is where they're going to end up, and then 2 years later, this is where they're going to be. So I think the timeline of this whole thing, now they're actually in the rebuild spot where they probably should have been last year. You know, after 2022, they probably should have gotten rid of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And I believe Joe Shane would have done that. I believe he thought the best way to get this roster where it needed to be in 2022 was going to be basically clean house and start over. But when you go out and you win 9 games and you win a playoff game, there's nobody in their right mind, if Joe Shane had walked into John Mara's office and said, look, we're going to let Daniel go and we're not going to pay Saquon, and we know we just won 9 games and gave you the best emotional high that you've had since the Super Bowl, but this is the way I think we need to build this team. people would have run Shane out of town that year. Yeah. So, you know, I just think there's a lot of playing around with numbers right now. And the bottom line is they're not a good team. They didn't have a good year this year, but I do believe that they have a plan. And you know, I just think they should see it through. And yeah, maybe it is, you don't want to see so much change. I mean, every 2 years, I mean, Dable's the first coach since Coughlin to actually get a third year. And we see what he's playing with right now. You know, guys get hurt, you know, they don't have a quarterback, Keith. That is the biggest issue here. I know everyone wants to talk about, you know, they're not going to be able to pick a quarterback. That what gives you confidence that they can evaluate a quarterback? Well, I'll tell you what, I've talked to people in Buffalo who will say that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were heavily invested in Josh Allen when he was drafted. Mm-hmm. They're heavily invested in turning a rookie Josh Allen, getting him to the point where he could actually grow into the player that he has become. So everyone wants to look at Josh Allen now and say Josh Allen made Brian Daboll. It's just not fair, because you talk to people in Buffalo who know, and they tell you that without Brian Daboll in year one and in year two for Josh Allen, who knows if Josh Allen ever gets to that point. And that development is why Brian Daboll is even the head coach of the Giants. And you haven't really given him an opportunity to take a young quarterback out of the draft and say, you know what, this is going to be our guy moving forward. So, you know, that's where I'm at with that as far as these two guys coming back.
Yeah. There's obviously some regrettable decisions, but I think it would be the most regrettable decision if you move on from the coach and the GM that you hired, because you thought what they did with Josh Allen could translate to Daniel Jones. It did not, but Daniel Jones was not their guy. There would be regret if you don't let them pick their guy. We're on the phone right now with Art Stapleton. He covers the Giants and the NFL for NorthJersey.com and the USA Today. I mean, you went back to talking about Daniel Jones coming off that playoff win. He Yep. played the game of his life. And a couple weeks before that, the fans were chanting, Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones. So, like, you couldn't get rid of him. They kind of were forced to give him a contract at the market rate. It didn't work out. He got hurt, some other things with Saquon, whatever. But, like, now here we are where, you know, last year, the play of Tommy DeVito and what Brian Daboll was able to do with him kind of put you in a sixth spot where you missed out on the top three quarterbacks. Here you are this year. You're not going to be drafting six. I think, you know, you have to take one of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. I'll ask you your opinion of the two. I think it's just going to be, you know, wherever the chips fall. I think if they're picking one, they have their choice, and they should probably take Shedeur Sanders, who has been vocal about, you know, coming to New York last weekend and wanting to potentially be here, and Deion saying that he wouldn't stop that, you know, or Cam Ward, who I think has great arm talent, is going to be a good project and a good NFL quarterback to work with as well if Shedeur goes to the Vegas Raiders. What do you think about the two quarterbacks? And I think it's 100% chance that they're going to end up with one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. I've said this a couple times and written it. You know, it's the dirty little secret in the NFL, right? You have to lose as many games as possible to get your best chance at swinging for a franchise quarterback that ultimately can change a team's fortune on a dime. Now, it could wreck your team, too, if you pick the wrong quarterback. But with Shedeur and Cam, all we're going to hear about is, oh, these guys aren't like they were last year, and they're not the guys from last year. And, you know, all it takes is one guy. I mean, we heard the same thing about Bo Nix, and now all of a sudden people want to know how come the Giants didn't draft Bo Nix, because they watched Bo Nix under Sean Payton's system. Sean Payton was probably the only guy who was going to draft Bo Nix in the first round.
Yep.
He took him, and Bo Nix so far has looked pretty good for him. But I will recall... For a lot of people, there was a quarterback in this town that threw for 330 yards, ran for two touchdowns, threw for two touchdowns in his debut, and you crowned him the next great quarterback in this town, and that was Daniel Jones. So let's not forget going into Sunday for Michael Penix with the Falcons. Everyone who wants to say if Penix comes out and cars up the Giants that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll should be fired because they passed on Penix. But to answer your question about Shedeur, I was told by several people who really dug in on the scouting so far on Shadour and Cam Ward, that Cam's ceiling is potentially higher than Shadour's, but Shadour's floor is much higher than where Cam's floor is.
Understood.
So that technically makes Shadour a safer pick, but Cam is the more of a boom or bust quarterback. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, you've got to kind of pick your flavor here. I mean, you know, once you settle the end of the season and you know what you're going to run in your offense, and if it's Brian Daboll back, and if it's what Joe Shane wants in a quarterback, and those are the guys picking the quarterback, then you could actually move forward and see, okay, who do you want? Now, if you're the Giants, you know, again, everybody wants to talk about 2-15 and how, well, you can't finish 2-15 and keep your jobs. But if you know, if you're John Mara and you know, if you finish 2-15, it's very likely, well, number one, it's a guarantee that you're finishing no lower than second in the draft for next year. You're not going out to want to lose these games, but you understand that 2-15 is a means to an end. Now, if I had asked you, Keith, here's what you're going to hear all weekend. The Giants next week might go 0-9, winless at home. They haven't been winless at home since 1974. How many games did they win at home back in 2011 when they won the Super Bowl? How about in 07? Do you remember how many games they won at home?
Not a lot. And like nobody keeps that number. Nobody has a number. Like even if it's two, if it's three.
Exactly. The idea is that they have not given a good product to the home crowd. They haven't given a good product to the road crowd this year. But don't tell me that you don't want to be attached to the worst record in franchise history. You get a quarterback, everybody will forget. Nobody remembers what record they had in 2003. Why? Because the year later they drafted from 4 to 1. Essentially, they didn't. The NFL draft was backwards back then, where you had to wait until, you know, the team picked your guy, and what happened with the Chargers and the Giants. But nobody remembers what happened in Fossils last year in 03. They remember Coughlin came in and then they traded for Eli. You know, so this whole idea, I mean, you know, we're all focused on numbers and using these records against these guys when, look, I can't argue with it. If John Mara wakes up tomorrow and says what I see behind the scenes and what I see on the field, I made the wrong choice for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. If he's going to make that call, then he's got to own that. But I just don't think the reality is whether you're 2-15 or 3-14 or whether you beat the Colts in the final home game, what does that do? It doesn't do anything. It wrecks your chances at having the best opportunity to get a quarterback. So I agree with you, Shadour or Cam. I probably lean Shadour, but I'm not opposed to taking Cam and working with his tools. And, you know, I got a chance to sit with him a little bit last week in a group, but myself and one other reporter were peppering him about the Giants in New York for about 20 minutes at the Heisman the day before. And, you know, seems like a humble kid, but very confident in what he can do.
Yes.
I've heard that about Cam, that there's not a throw that he doesn't believe he can make on the field. And I asked him about that, and he said, for me, it's about preparation and working every throw. And, you know, so I think he's got the right head to succeed in this city. But we've seen guys come and go. We've seen guys come and fail, and we've seen guys succeed. So I just think that's where the Giants are at. Unfortunately, they've got to play this game in the NFL where, you know, if this was a lottery, it'd be a little different story. And it's not a lottery. So you lose, the 2025 Giants gain. You lose, and the 2024 Giants shake their heads, and they absorb another really, really bad loss. So that's kind of where they're at. It's an unfortunate situation in the NFL, but that's the reality.
Yeah, I liked when Cam Ward talked about, you know, if Joe Shane comes to get me, then, like, he knows what's up. And
yep.
He said that I'll stay in New Jersey all day. There's a lot going on out here. Basically saying, like, the city was too crazy for him and that he has no problem staying in, New Jersey. Meanwhile, you know, Shador is shopping till he drops. He's going to all the fine, designer stores, Dior and Louis Vuitton, and, you know, walking around the city with shopping bags, whatever, to each his own. The kid has been rich his entire life. But no matter whether they go with Shador Sanders or Cam Ward or whoever falls to them, they need an offensive line. And the last thing for you is, you know, you talk about losing the rest of these games, and they're going to lose the rest of these games because they don't have the horses in the stable. And I saw your tweet that said, with Stinney out, undrafted free agent rookie Jake Kubas is likely to slide in at left guard for the Giants on Sunday. And then it had the injury report with, Bobby Okereke and Patrick Johnson. They're like, so many guys are hurt. So many guys are not practicing. So many guys are shut down for the year. You can't compete against a team that has healthy, talented players. It's an unfair advantage where, you know, you would need the ball to bounce your way 100 times in the game for it to even get done. So what can you say about, you know, the guys that are playing for the Giants and their chances against the Falcons this week, who are an 8.5 favorite?
You know, I think it's going to be all about Michael Penix for the Falcons and how the Giants defend him. The younger players for the Giants, I think there are guys to be encouraged by. I think on the defensive side of the ball, you know, you've seen Micah McFadden really the last month or so with Okereke being out. McFadden's had a very good year. He is not a perfect player. You know, he'll make, you know, 13 tackles in a game and he'll miss one or two and you'll just shake your head and go, man, that guy can't make every tackle. Well, yeah, I know. He can't make every tackle. He's a fifth-round pick from 2 years ago. You know, I think it's unfortunate that their corners have not played up to where you want them to be because they haven't been healthy. I mean, even when they've been out there, Tay Banks has struggled this year. He hasn't had a great second year. He was solid last year, a little inconsistent. So I don't know, between he and Cordell Flott, if those guys play on Sunday, can they perform, you know, at a higher level than they've played? But let's be honest, Keith, it's all about Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy. They have a chance to be, you know, and
yep, get whether, the numbers. Get yep.
Yeah, whether people want to appreciate it or not, 2014, the Giants did not win many games, and yet everyone remembers Odell's run at the end of that season and what he was able to accomplish. Well, Malik Nabers has 90 catches, and he has a 901 receiving yards. So he has a chance to get to 100 catches, which would break the rookie record for receptions in this franchise, this 100-year franchise that would break Odell's record, and it was matched by Saquon. So, you know, if you can beat a record that Odell and Saquon had as rookies, I think that's a good season. And I think there's an outside chance that Malik makes a run at Puka Nacua's NFL record for rookie receptions, and that's 105. And I think Tyrone Tracy can get to 1,000 all-purpose yards. And so could Malik Nabers. And I think having two teammates that can do something that only one other rookie tandem has done post-merger, which was 1970, and that was in 2006. It was Reggie Bush and Marcus Colston with the Saints. I think that's something that Giants fans could kind of wrap around. I mean, look, this is not looking at it going, well, we're only going to talk about the positives because this erases everything else. No, we all know the reality. They're a bad football team, but you've got to be able to hold on to something where, you know, you just don't know year one, year two turns into year three. And I talked to Malik Nabers about this. He said, we want to envision that we go through this as a rookie class this year so that 3 years down the road, if we're holding a trophy or we're celebrating at the stadium, we know what we went through as a rookie class and now we came out of it and we're now at that point where we can celebrate. And I think that's kind of what it's been about for these rookies, and it's been a hard learning experience. So we'll see where these Giants are come Sunday, but I know it's a very small population of Giants fans who will be happy if somehow they pull off the upset inside the Mercedes-Benz Dome down there in Atlanta. That's for sure.
Last thing for you, Art. What a guy. Daniel Jones sends his old offensive lineman limited edition bottles of Class A Azul. I'm more of a Casamigos guy, but I thought that was a nice story that popped up. Daniel Jones, you know, what a guy. Unfortunately, it didn't go great for him, but I thought that was solid that he still, you know, delivered a Christmas gift to the guys that blocked for him earlier in the season. Oh, did we lose Art? I think we lost Art. He heard Daniel Jones. He's like, nah, I'm out. No comment. Just kidding. I know he probably had something good to say, something nice to say about Daniel Jones. I think everybody had good things to say about Daniel Jones. That's it, though. 888-808-1019. Thank you to Art Stapleton for joining us. And now we'll get back to your calls. It's wide open for Giants calls, Jets calls, Yankees calls, Mets calls, hot stove, college football. I mean, Notre Dame is kicking Indiana's ass. I'm glad I didn't bet anything on that game. It's 17-3. They just showed Kirk Cignetti, whose offense averages 43 points a game. They've got three in the first half. It's not looking good. Art, you're back? Art's there still?
I'm back, Keith. Sorry.
Okay, all good. I wanted to get your last thoughts on the report that Daniel Jones sent limited edition bottles of Class A Azul tequila to his former offensive lineman. He did not have to do that.
He did not. Very cool thing by Daniel Jones. And, you know, I think no one ever doubted whether or not Daniel Jones was a good teammate. And I think it says a lot. I mean, he did play 10 games with this offensive line this year, more than half of the season. So I think that was pretty cool to do that for the holiday gifts. You know, you always hear of guys and quarterbacks and what they're doing. I mean, saw Brock Purdy gave five sequoias to his offensive line this year. And sequoias, I don't mean trees.
No, I know. Toyota trucks. I'm like, the math isn't math. And with what he makes, his salary, Toyota must have kicked in some kind of deal.
Yeah, but where Brock is planning on that $55 million a year deal that he's going to sign with the 49ers. But, yeah, I mean, good job by Daniel Jones. And I can tell you, you know, I think most people in this organization are rooting for Daniel Jones to do well wherever he ends up next, especially his teammates in that locker room. They respected him. They appreciated him. And I think, you know, he just shows who he is, you know, as a person, as a player, as a teammate. But, you know, it's not like the Giants treated him poorly. They gave him $82 million the last 2 years. So he can take some of that money and kind of give it back to his offensive line, that's for sure.
Art, enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Have a good holiday. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Absolutely, Keith. Happy holidays. Happy and healthy to everybody, you and your family, too.